It sounds to me like we're allowing one or two people to make the final decision. There are two sides to every story, and we want to have the side from also the individual being excluded, and we also want that to be put up in front of a committee to have an understanding on what the best direction to go on this. I'm very impressed with we're using the term restorative. We tend to have in this city with a lot of people, we're more worried about historic properties and restoring historic properties. We need to start looking at the people in this city and understand that that is where we need to direct our most attention. We need to create plans and go in that direction and understand that we need to focus more money in that direction instead of these historic properties that we think are so valuable throughout this city. And my last note on this is that, again, that mindset of restorative mindset, I absolutely agree with, and the people need to come first. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Schwab, good morning.
Good morning. Good topic this morning regarding discipline. I'm wearing my former...
Name on the record, even though I put half of it in for you.
Marianne Schwab.
Thank you.
Former job placement secretary with the school district, a job I dearly loved. I also worked very close to the first secretary because of public law 94-142 with the motor development team. And I really know the system inside out and backwards. The troubling part all came with Measure 5. The 11 job placement secretaries were the first cuts. And they did keep our crime prevention or our work in coordinators, and they were, some of them were double, if not triple, our salaries. But on paper, it looked good. It looked like this district was cutting dollars. My concern, and I think Commissioner Fitch just mentioned it, I heard it in passing when I was in her office dropping something off, is that what happens when the discipline follows these students into adulthood? I was rebuffed when I challenged the staff sending confidential reports on the fax machine and inter-office school students helping pull things off the fax machine and filing these documents into the teacher mailboxes. I was concerned because some of it had to do with drugs, alcohol, counseling, off-campus, those types of things. My concern was what happens when this does go into adulthood and it affects their car insurance, their life insurance, their medical insurance, even whether or not they could get into the military depending on what they were experimenting with. On these early leaver reports is when I challenged it a second time because their Social Securities for 3 years were going down. Well, as you bump from school to school, every school did it a different way. I called Salem, and because I trusted the person on the other end, he assured me that though public record, they would not let loose those Social Security numbers. So there's a lot of measures that could be checked, and I'm very, very concerned at some of these expulsions. When you expulse a kid because he missed a red light taking a cigarette at a Plaid Pantry, not knowing what that family situation is, that's trouble. When you have a 16-year-old in the front office crying, really upset, then that's when I jump and I go where angels fear to tread. The kid did stay in school. They did release that. And kids are not paper file holders. And your counseling, one, and you did it with arts in the school. There's one art teacher to 500 kids in two elementary schools. There's something wrong with this math. And now they're rescheduling the boundaries, I guarantee. Grant High School is a sacred one. Lincoln's a sacred school. And, well, I give up. I'm really, really upset with the boundary changes because when they took kids out of the Sunnyside and Mendel School with hearing-impaired kids, they'd been there 26 years. And without any notification to the parents over the summer said, next year your kids go to Creston. That's after the building people came in and put flashing lights for fire drills. Somebody's not doing their job. And I think I agree with what Joe said. They all get F minus. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much.
We have two more who have requested to speak.
Okay. Let's take two more and then a motion to accept the report. So call those up, please.
Director James and Teresa Rayford.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Council. Good morning, Mayor Hills. And I didn't want to make testimony.
Just put your name in the record.
Teresa Rayford. Thank you. I'm here as a community member, as a parent, advocate. And I didn't want to do testimony today. I actually came here to meet with someone in the mayor's office for another issue, but it's relative to this issue. And I knew that this meeting was going to happen, but I didn't know that it was today. So God is good. I did want to say, though, that one of the reasons that you don't see a lot of black people in the community coming out to things like this or standing up for themselves is because they've already been retaliated against for several years. Those parents' voices have been shut down by what we would call tokens or gatekeepers or people that are in appointed positions of power that absolutely look like myself. And whenever you have the people that are in power, in elected power, or in corporate power with the money, basically co-signing for people that are suggestive tokens or suggestive filters between the people's voice and the voice of the policymakers, then you're going to have a lot of discernment, and you won't have a lot of feedback from those people that count. The people that need to be here today, it should have been publicized that parents could come here and speak on the record regarding this, even if this is something that's, you know, kind of not what you guys deal with in City Hall. But I think that you would have gotten a lot of F minuses. I think that if they wouldn't have turned off the stream last night, that you would have heard parents' voices. And all of those voices said that they're not being heard and that they feel like their inclusion in their children's ability to be successful coming out of school is necessary, but the engagement is not there, is not there. We have these different organizations and these different agencies and these different proprietary partners that are there for those children, but you guys exclude the parents because you give them so much value over the parents. The parents, the teachers, and the children are the voices that you need to be talking to. Those are the people you need to listen to. Those are the people that you need to make a concerted effort to get into a room with and have these discussions. Those other people that get big raises that have a job, that's their 9-to-5. Those parents, this is their future. Those children, this is their future. Those teachers, this is why they work. They don't go in there with a malicious intent to fail our children. But when there are systems in place that basically benefit from the failure of our children financially or by having some type of national accrete to popularity because of their success for granting an opportunity, it devalues their needs, which is a successful life and not jail. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, Director James.
Good morning. Dante James. I'm the Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I just wanted to just come and make a quick comment and I guess say thank you to PPS for the work that they are doing, the courageous work that they are doing. That doesn't mean it's done. In the same way, my office is, I think, doing some good work, but we're certainly not done. Portland Public Schools is a big ship, and it's hard to turn a big ship quickly. And so at this point, I don't know that they mentioned the statistic, but almost every other child now in Portland Public Schools is a child of color. And that's who we're talking about.
Say that again,
please. Almost every other child in Portland Public Schools is a child of color. And that's who we're talking about. And that's not only our future, it's our present. And we don't have the luxury of failing those kids. And so this is a courageous effort, and it's a difficult-to-implement effort. And you can read the paper and go back all you want to and read the challenges and difficulties that PPS has taken and the attacks that it's had based on its courageous conversation and its equity work, and the individuals sitting in this room who've had to try to implement that. But clearly you can see that there is movement and things are happening. And I think that is at least the essence of the message. We're not done. I know they're not done. They're working very hard. And Lolenzo is also a member of the Black Male Achievement Steering Committee and has the support of that in interacting with the Black Male Achievement Initiative, and it will also be working toward trying to gain more data and push for policy changes and other things. But clearly, I think, at least as I see, there is movement, and the movement is in a positive direction, not a negative direction. So I just wanted to offer a quick congratulations for their work, and as I always do, challenge them to keep on working and make things even better. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Mayor, I move.
Parents. Talk to the parents.
We are.
I move the report.
Yep. Further discussion? Then a roll call on accepting the report, please.
Fritz.
Well, thank you again, Mayor, for bringing this report. Thank you to the presenters from Portland Public Schools for your obvious caring about this issue and your direct attention to it. And I know that you know that you can count on us to be good partners for you, and I do look forward to hearing from David Douglas and Park Rose as well, since those are the two other school districts that are entirely within the city of Portland. We need to fund education adequately at the statewide level. We should not be relying on philanthropists to donate. We had one respite year last year where the legislature dedicated as much as they could, and we need to continue to encourage them to do that. We are nowhere near back where we were in 1990 when Measure 5 passed. And that's why Vera Katz dedicated one-time money to Portland Public Schools from the at a time that it wasn't easy to do that. That's why the council spent money with one-time funding to buy parkland from Portland Public Schools, both to provide parks in parks-deficient areas and to provide money for the schools. And this is why this council and the previous one dedicated money to the Resolutions Northwest Restorative Justice Program, that we have been recognizing that this is a problem. Superintendent Smith mentioned the 14% increase in graduation rates in just 6 years. Show me another school district who's been able to do that. And yet we are, as Director James said, we are certainly not done. My son, who graduated from Wilson High School, then taught at Marshall High School and the Madison High School in the Step Up program run by Open Meadow. And that's another program. Superintendent Smith is smiling because that she was in charge of that program. It's a way to provide extra support to kids who are struggling or could be expected to struggle, and it's produced some phenomenal graduates of those schools. And so we need to be supporting those programs. I will continue to do so proudly, and it is absolutely, as the mayor pointed out, it is part of the purview of the charter for the city council to be involved in all of the affairs of the city, including the schools. It's also one of the reasons why I ran for city council, not for the school board, because I think that they have a tremendously difficult job with parents like the parent that I was for the 17 years that I was there, learning as I go along, because your child does not come with an owner's manual, nor does your school district. And Portland Public Schools was the structure that helped me learn what it was like to be an American citizen, what it was like to be a Portland Public Schools parent. And that, too, is the unseen challenge that your entire staff has. You're not just educating the students. You're educating families. You're bringing in everyone. And as Ms. Rayford suggested, we need to make sure that we're including everyone in our discussions, and not only inviting, but making sure that we're going where people are listening and going where we can listen to folks and hearing some hard truths about not being done yet, and sharing the commitment that we're going to keep trying as hard as we can, and we're going to be dedicating funding to this process. So thank you for coming, and I look forward to continuing to work with you. Aye.
Fish?
Well, thank you, Charlie, for putting this on the agenda. Frankly, when I saw the agenda, I wasn't entirely clear why we were getting this presentation. And the other novelty or important point about our charter is it actually doesn't say that we have any direct responsibility over education. But I think the mayor understands and the council understands that if the young people that you're charged with educating are not successful, we're not going to be a successful city. So thank you, Charlie, for bringing this forward. Thank you, Lorenzo, for a very compelling presentation. You've been in the trenches for a long time fighting the good fight, and PPS is lucky to have you. Mayor, my wife's a teacher, and I have two kids who either are in or have gone through public school, and best teacher for me, and I think you've shared this, the best teacher for you is actually being in the classroom, being in the school, and observing. And that's where I've learned some powerful truths about the challenges that we place on administrators and teachers. And it's a tough job, and everybody needs to be part of the solution. I actually think that I think that serving on the school board is a tougher job than our job, because they don't have staff. It's a part-time job, and at least we have a lot of resources backing us up. But I would argue it's almost a tougher job. And finally, I just want to acknowledge that we talk about why does it matter. My mother-in-law, because of her gender, was denied an education. So she never completed the sixth grade. And it was just not expected in her community in the south of Spain that an education was valued, that a investment in her education mattered. And so she faced diminished possibilities in her life because of it. And she insisted that her eldest child get an education because of a first-rate public education and then college and graduate school. She's a professor now at Portland State University, my wife. One generation, a commitment to giving people opportunity. The kids that you are educating are some days going to be either sitting up here or running bureaus or making leadership decisions in our community. So we all have a stake in their success. And Mayor Hills, thank you for focusing our attention on this very important issue. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Superintendent Smith, Mr. Poe, Ms. Singer, for this excellent presentation. It is indeed laudable that you and the school board and our community are openly talking about these very vexing issues that can easily become uncomfortable conversations very quickly. So I laud you for doing this and doing this in a very public manner and in a way that you're committed to reducing the number of suspensions or exclusions. And I think the data indicates why we need to reduce those so that young people can be successful in life. So thank you. Aye.
Novick.
I was really impressed by the progress you've made in reducing the number of exclusions across the board. That is something that I was not aware of. And I was equally impressed by the fact that you did not dwell on that, that what you're dwelling on is the disparities that do exist and the exclusions that are still going on, and you're committed to doing something about that. So I think that Director James put it very well. I really appreciated his comments, and I appreciate what you're doing and what you're trying to do and what you've told us here today. Thank you. Aye.
Hales?
Well, I want to thank the council for your energized interest in this report and in this discussion. I think it would be possible at first glance to look at the question of student success and then look at the city of Portland as the municipal corporation responsible for police, fire, parks, transportation, water, sewer, housing, and so on, and say, well, it's not our department. But, of course, it is our department because not only of that charter mandate that we pay attention to the community in general, but because we're doing some very specific things that will work better if this initiative by the school district is successful. We have an Office of Youth Violence Prevention, and our director, Antoinette Edwards, is here. Her work will succeed if our kids succeed. We have a youth services division in the Portland Police Bureau that puts school resource officers in each school, and they're an important ingredient in this work, and their understanding of how this needs to be done differently is important. So I'll make sure that they are active partners in the change that you're trying to make. We have an economic development agenda that says talent is our future. In fact, we had an economic development consultant in this chamber a couple of weeks ago who said the most important thing you can do as a city is education. There's some other things you ought to do, but do that first and well if you care about the future of your economy. So, of course, this is our department. Doing the right thing should always be our department, but it's specific in this case to the work that we actually do. Speaking of traditional city services, my thought occurred to me listening to you this morning that our school district leadership, the folks that were here today to speak, our superintendent, Lorenzo Serra, you have a firefighter's instinct. Seen a little smoke, and you're running towards the problem. And that's courageous, and it's exactly the right instinct in this case. And instead of obfuscating it or keeping it out of public view, you're running straight towards the problem. And not only are you running towards the problem, but you're setting a very clear goal and putting numbers to that goal, that you're going to change this problem by this much this year. That sets a standard, I think, for a lot of us in public service, for how clear can we be about what we're going to hold ourselves to as a goal and what we're going to measure as success. So I really appreciate you being here this morning. I appreciate this work, this good discussion in our chambers, and the work that we'll do together to make sure that you and therefore our kids succeed. Thank you very much. Aye. Thanks a lot.